Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 501. I am Chris, not joined by Tony, but Earl is here.
Yeah. Hey, so, I mean, you can always, you know, we're going to say always, as always, joined by Earl, because Tony is not good enough to join us this week.
Yeah, true. I mean, I suppose wife's birthday is important. I don't know how important. Jeff is here as well.
Hello.
We've been playing some games, and there's some news out there. There's some stuff that happened this week. As Earl said, there would be.
Magically. But no, we knew about the EA stuff.
And, yeah.
I'm going to throw this for a loop, I guess, right off the bat. How have you folks felt about this kind of disjointed, spread out E3 that we've got going?
Christopher?
I don't like it.
It's not the same. Like, now, as jaded as I am, it's like, there was something about, like, that fucking concentrated level of hype for, like, yes. 4 days, you know?
Like, I looked forward to, it was like, this is video game week, like, and
now it's just like, okay, well, I didn't even know the EA thing was happening today until you guys dropped it in the group chat.
Yeah, and honestly, when it got dropped into our chat, I was like, oh, there's like an Apex thing or something today. And it wasn't. It's like there was a whole EA presentation.
it is like, I do get, you know, people saying like the pros of it, which is like, you know, games get more of a chance to like kind of shine a little bit, like, you know. Now, for a couple of days, I'll be thinking about that Star Wars game, you know, instead of it just being lost in a sea of, like, you know, fucking 100-plus game announcements or whatever. You know, I don't know. I like E3, though. I always, like, yeah. Like E3, so.
And it's just like, you said you're going to think about that Star Wars game, but that, like, leaked out, like, 3 days ago, and, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, well, I mean, it leaked out last week, then they had the CG trailer Monday. Then they had the actual thing today. So it is disjointed in that sense. It's really weird. And I think the biggest thing to me is, and this is something about really quickly before we start recording, is it's much easier for stuff to get lost in the shuffle because, like we mentioned, like we talked about the Sony event last week. We're going to talk about the EA event today. And we could talk about this, but I don't think any of us watched it, was there were several PC-centric or indie-centric events this weekend. There was Royal Collective, which was, I think, a three-day event where they were, I think it was Saturday, Sunday, Monday, like an hour and a half dedicated to a specific, you know, a mix of games. Then there was a PC game showcase. And, like, I knew those things were happening, but honestly speaking, other things were happening, and it just felt like there's no rhyme or reason. Like, one of the, you know, the downsides, I guess, of being catered to with E3 in the ways that we have in the past 20 some odd years was that if you had that focus where it's like, okay, Nintendo's going to present something, Microsoft's going to present something, Sony's going to present something, they present stuff and then you get games from that. Then you had other companies that did it. Like in the years past, we would have something like the PC gaming show existed, but there wasn't any, like there still was like a central theme. Like, this is this console, this is this company. When it's just like, here's a bunch of games? Like, that is weird.
Yeah. And I did not watch any of that indie or PC stuff. I mean, we definitely caught bits and pieces of it, you know, through Twitter, through our feed, but I did not sit down to watch anything.
And I saw some of it, and there were games that were pretty good. But again, to the point that it was so disjointed, it might as well have been me just watching, coming across a trailer on YouTube, and then utterly forgetting it because I just wasn't that invested in these shows.
Yep.
I think I said something with the Sony show. Even though I like the direct format, Nintendo has a sense of humor to themselves that they usually can. It's a little charming. Where I thought Sony was so kind of methodical that I felt like they needed more people talking to kind of be the crew that held the whole presentation together.
Yeah, Sony's was a little bit overloaded, and I've already forgotten a lot of the stuff that they showed. I mean, I guess that happens with E3 anyway, right? Like, you catch a couple things, you kind of notate them in your head, and everything else filters away. And I haven't felt the excitement.
Yeah.
I mean, there's something to... There's really something to E3 Monday, which is like press conference day, where it's like it used to be Microsoft in the morning, and then I think EA, Ubisoft, and Sony, and it was like you had a couple hours in between, maybe, or sometimes not even a couple hours in between.
You'd be like, I'll be back for the next one.
Yeah. Like, I used to hate, not hate, but Ubisoft, like, it would be EA, and then EA would roll into Ubisoft.
Yep.
And then what would happen there is then, like, I would then have to, like, get up in between Ubisoft because I had to make it into the city to go to Sony's event at the movie theater. You don't get any of that now.
And then on Tuesday, you wake up with great anticipation for Nintendo.
Yep.
Like, the Nintendo one always used to be funny to me. Like, if Sony and Microsoft was disappointed, it would always be like, people are like, okay, Nintendo has to bring it. It's like, it never worked out for them that way. So.
But, like, sometimes they could just win it by showing, like, one fucking game, you know, like, one amazing game, and you're just like, oh, my, and since their last one, you're like, Nintendo fucking won all the shit, you know?
Yeah, I will say, I don't miss that. I don't miss the talks of who won or off E3, because there's, like, no real way to say it.
It's all, like, as Jeff said, it's like, you know, Nintendo comes around, they show a couple good games, and everyone's like, oh my god, Nintendo won. It's like, and you don't get those games for 4 years. Shut up.
I feel like Nintendo hasn't been that bad with that.
Not recently.
No. But, no, I mean, and that's kind of the same thing, and we can get into it with EA, because EA did the same thing today, where it's like, we're excited to show you these games. When are they coming out? No idea. So
what did they show? I did not catch it, unfortunately.
Okay, so they started off with Apex Legends, which is getting, you know, this is more Tony and Walter's realm, but that's getting new content, and it's coming to Steam and Switch at the end of this year, and it's going to enable crossplay, which I'm always excited for, so you could play Apex Legends with people across systems.
Yeah, like I could, that's probably like Tony and Walt get on, and they're like, oh, we're playing Apex, like I'm in the other room or something, and like maybe the Switch is nearby, but like that could be good to just be able to jump on and play that way.
Yes. They announced Rocket Arena, which is a really terrible name, I think, but it looks like a very interesting game. It's a not team based. It is team based. It's a team
fucking
based
Overwatch.
Yes, it's Overwatch, but your main weapon of choice. Actually, more than Overwatch, it reminded me of Yawbreaker. I think more because of the sense of movement and stuff.
Oh, is it? Does it look fast paced?
Yes, it's very fast paced. It's 3v3. Each character has like their own special ability, and I mean they didn't say, but it sounds like it's a free to play title. And this will be coming out, I think, next month.
Okay.
So that's exciting. The Way Out director is It Takes Two. And I gotta say, I enjoy that guy speaking. They did not really show what the game is, but he spoke very passionately about it. So good on him for that. I guess the big one for a lot of people, Skate 4 was announced.
Oh, finally. I never liked the skate games, but I know that that's been a big push. Jeff, you're a skateboard fan. You a fan of skate?
No. I tried. It was too, like, it's
too simmy.
Yeah, it was different. Like, I mean, like, you know, Tony Hawk kind of had its corner of that, so I get what they did, and people love that series, so I just, for me, it never, like, I couldn't get into it.
But yeah, I mean, really, honestly speaking, and this is what the big thing with this one is they announced it, and that's it. Like, they talked about it exists, No gameplay, no concept art, no release window. Just that it's like a game we're working on.
That's funny.
That was
started today.
Wasn't there?
I mean, honestly speaking, they might as well have said like, "Hey, okay, that's making this today,"
so that and we could announce this and have like a thing that would make people happy.
Well, wasn't there that leak not too long ago of a pro skater said that he had been contacted. I thought it was by EA that he had been contacted, and he was like, "Oh, for Skate 4," and they were like, "You know, for like a mobile game," and he went off on them, and basically told them he wouldn't be in their stupid game. They should just make Skate 4. Now you look back and it's like, I wonder if that was all just like viral marketing.
That wouldn't surprise.
It's bad that we're skeptical of everything now.
They announced Madden and FIFA. But I guess the big thing for everybody, like we noted, I don't know why I glossed over it because I forgot, because of the way it was announced, like we actually have not covered it on the show.
Right.
But like the Star Wars game was leaked last Friday or Thursday via some retail something or not that it was leaked. And EA was like, oh, yes, we are actually working on this. And on Monday, we got the CG trailer for it, with the promise of the first gameplay footage this week, which is what we got today. And it kind of looks like, it's very reminiscent of like Battlefield and how it's set up. Even like, I forget what the mode is called in Battlefield 5.
Starfighter mode.
Well, not even Starfighter mode, but the one in, where you, it's an evolving multiplayer mode where it's like it's not necessarily 1v1. It's like we're going to do like skirmish. We're going to do attack, and it's like it's just a continuing thing like that. So
it doesn't end necessarily. Like it's not just like, oh, you hop into this game. It's like it keeps going.
Yeah. And I thought that was really cool in Battlefield as well, so I'm excited to see that. But yeah, it was their big announcement, and I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. And the game looks nice.
So that's good.
I
like Star Wars games. And it's good that they're, you know, releasing something, because they've had the license since 2013, and they've only really, like, this will be the fourth actual game that they've released in that time. So
yeah, games are not easy.
No. Good. I'm excited for that one. And I think it's a $40 game according to Xbox. Oh, so
is it and
Squadrons?
No. Well, I mean, to be honest, it seems like it is kind of a free to play title, but like they say, everything you can earn in game, so that's a positive, I guess.
So yeah, and there's a single player content, but it's going to be primarily like multiplayer based. So,
that's what I had heard. Like, I thought I had heard a couple days ago it was just a multiplayer game, and I was just like, I don't care. And then today they made a point of saying like, oh, there's single player and blah, blah, blah. But I was like thinking to myself, is that like a 2-hour single player thing that like just teaches you how to play basically, you know, if it's that, then single I don't player, really give a shit. I don't know.
Yeah. The single player from what it sounded like sounds more like the tutorial. Cause it's like, have to,
well, that's what I like after he just said it's $40. I was like, what? No, it's not going to be a real fucking thing. Like, I was thinking this is like Rogue Squadron fucking 4 or whatever. Like,
no, that I mean, even when it was announced, like it didn't scream. It sounded more like
Star Squadron. Fox. Just saying,
it sounded more like Star Fox's multiplayer mode than anything.
It seems very reminiscent of X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, but you know, consoleized. So they've taken over like Starfighter Assault from Battlefront and blown it out a little bit. I expect the single player to like actually have a story and probably be, I expect it to be like 4 to 5 hours, but no more than that. It's not going to be an 11, 12 hour Rogue Squadron game.
That sucks.
And it's probably going to be like, you know, 2 hours for the Rebels, or I guess the New Republic in this, and then 2 hours for the Empire would be my guess.
Damn it. But well, we'll see. I let myself get a little interested for a minute because, you know, I like those old games, especially on the GameCube or whatever. But, this, at the very least, it just looks and sounds great, but I probably will play it eventually, but...
Yep.
Oh, boy.
I'm looking forward to it, so... what else was there? Was that it, or...?
I mean, that was the big takeaway from the EA press conference, I think. I mean... Again, not a huge EA fan, so I mean, not that I dislike them, more like they just don't really make games that necessary in my warehouse. And I was just watching this presentation, and I'm like, yeah, like outside of like Star Wars, like they do sports titles, and that's pretty much their bread and butter. Like, crap, there was another Life is Random, or This is Random, or something like that, and that is really interesting. It had a very Tim Burton style to it, so I thought that I kind of want to see more of that.
I only caught from basically right before the Star Wars reveal, which was near the end. I turned it on, so I saw like the last maybe 15 minutes.
Did they show Need for Speed at all?
No.
That's scary. Because I thought that was supposed to be for this year. So.
Me too.
I don't know. It's a shame. Like, there was a time, you know, last gen, where EA was really kind of like knocking it out of the park with diverse games. You know, they had Dead Space, Mirror's Edge, Dragon Age, Mass Effect. You know, their sports games on top of that. Now it's like, all right, your sports games, there's a couple like little indie games and a Star Wars game. Have fun. Oh, well.
Yeah, and it's weird because I can't imagine they're being held by the new systems because both of those are announced now.
Yeah. Yeah, like they could definitely show, hey, like here's stuff that's coming out on the Xbox Series X and the PS5, but whatever. And they also announced EA Access for Steam. Did I hear that correctly?
Yes. And they also announced a few games for Steam. So I believe... Titanfall, Burnout Paradise, and like three other EA titles are now
available on Steam.
Sims.
They said The Sims is coming. The Sims 4 is coming to Steam.
Yep. I think they're all on Steam now.
Okay.
They got their early, and then they just for Titanfall. I would always let people know they should buy Titanfall.
Yeah.
You should always be prepared for Titanfall.
Titanfall is great. I wish that they would modify Apex Legends to have Titans.
I think every game
should have, yeah. Every game should have Titans.
It's the way of the world.
drop a Titan down in Zelda.
Yeah. Why not?
Be great. There was a couple other bits of news this week.
Yes.
We talked about the Sony thing last week, and we were kind of speculating a little bit on what Spider-Man Miles Morales would be. And then Sony went on to bungle that.
It seemed confusing, didn't it? Like,
very.
Yeah, like
seemed confusing.
Well, because like yeah, I saw like one thing, and then like an hour later, I saw another thing. But from my understanding, it's like Lost Legacy, right? Like it's it.
But that's the thing. It's like,
is a standalone.
That's the thing. That's
not really a sequel, but kind of a side game, or you know, whatever. Like
that's why it's confusing. That's why I joked when you said it seems confusing, because it is still very much confusing to a lot of people.
But that's what it is, though, right? It's basically like Lost Legacy, kind of, sort of, smaller standalone game.
Yes, and I think that's confusion for a lot of people is, it's because like one, their phrasing was really bad on it.
Because I guess the Sony exec was out there saying that it was an expansion set inside a remaster of Spider-Man for the PS5.
Which is, that's something else entirely.
Right, like, yeah.
And I don't know, like, they're so, because of their bad phrasing on all this, I heard rumors that it was also coming to PS4. Like that you'd be able to get it through Spider-Man, like as a piece of DLC through there, but it'll be, you'll also be able to play it standalone. I'm still kind of confused on what it is.
Yes. And yes. And not, I don't think anything this week has come out to clarify that. So I'm still
confused. And if it does come out on PS4, well, that's kind of like, I don't know, you sat here and made a big deal about how you're making a generational shift. And then, like, your big game that is really the only big launch game that you have first party wise is maybe also on PS4. It's really weird. These companies, bad messaging.
Yep. we had Pokemon news.
Because
it's been such a long generation, long time since we remembered it. Nintendo has announced new Pokemon Snap because they have not, like, it was just like eating at them. They had it named the name new all generation and they had to get it out of their system. And so they announced a new Pokemon Snap game, which is called New Pokemon Snap. And I believe the word is, and I could be wrong, is that I guess new has another meaning Japanese that sounds more exotic than when it's translated to American or English, I say.
So it's like it's not the literal translation of what the game is called in.
Well, I think it is like new, but it's like new seems different than for us, where it's just like, oh yeah, this is not that exciting.
Got it.
But yes, it's the second Pokemon Snap game. And the first one, I mean, what is it, 20 some odd years?
It was N64, right? That sounds about right.
Yeah. So out in,
I've been asking for this
1991, since 21 years.
I've been asking since the Wii U. I thought the Wii U would have been a perfect system to put
that
on. Yeah,
it was, like, you would think the system with a camera would have been ideal. But no.
Still cool. Like, I'll play it, probably. I like Snap.
Yeah, so I don't have a huge affinity for it one way or another. Did they mention when it's...
Yeah, I don't know. New Pokemon Snap. Let's see.
Doesn't have a release date, so I'm hoping that's this year, because there's not a lot announced outside of Paper Mario. They announced Pokemon Mao, which is a toothbrushing app that allows you to catch Pokemon as you're brushing your teeth. It seems like a way to encourage young kids to brush their teeth, which I'm all for.
Yeah. Kids should brush their teeth. Everyone should brush their teeth.
Everybody should brush their teeth. And I was going to say, like, you don't necessarily need to convince adults to do that. But that's also not true, because I've known adults who I've had to convince to take showers. So, yeah. Yeah.
Anything that gets them to clean their mouths.
And then there was like a new Pokemon puzzle game, which I don't remember the name of. That's really dumb. Because like it's like a match puzzle game, but like not like traditional match games. You kind of move like this. You just kind of swirl around in circles and try to connect stuff. It's really strange how that looks.
It seems to me though, like that Pokemon's getting like more love than any other series this gen. Like it's just like fucking Pokemon out the ass.
I feel sick like of it. I feel like it might be something you notice because it's on consoles, because Pokemon's always been like this. Partially because Pokemon isn't handled necessarily by Nintendo, that the Pokemon company puts out all of these. Yeah, like I mean, if you think about, again, because it was so much on handhelds, a lot of people ignored it. But like you'd have the, you know, you had the Pokemon, you had the core Pokemon games, you had the remakes, you had the Mystery Dungeon games, you had Rumble, you had Dash, you had, you know, Detective Pikachu was a 3DS game. So there's a lot of different. There was the tactical war game with Pokemon, Pokemon Conquest. So there's always been a lot of Pokemon spinoffs, but I think people ignored them because they were on handhelds. And now they're on consoles, and it's only on one system. It's like there's a lot of Pokemon games.
Yeah, I think this is what this highlights is Nintendo is slow. Give me my fucking Odyssey 2 already, goddamn it, or something.
Again,
fucking drop some Pikmin
again,
on
because
me
because it's not hand dude by Nintendo specifically. That's why Pokemon.
That's what I'm saying. It's like this company is way faster with their shit. I mean,
I think
Pokemon.
That's correct. So. Yeah, because like I mean, are you gonna get like Pokemon Smile? Seems nifty, but I don't necessarily know if that's like, oh man, I wish Nintendo was making that. And I say that, but Nintendo also stealth released a game this Jump Rope Challenge, which was announced on Monday.
Wait, or did you say Jump Rope Challenge?
Yes, I did.
Cool.
And that is literally exactly what it is. I mean, I'm more into the idea of the game because of what it represents. It's a little pet project that some Nintendo developers created while home during quarantine to remain active. And it's essentially just a jump rope app. It's you use the two Wiimotes and you kind of pretend jump rope and it keeps count for you and stuff like that. As far as I can tell, that is the entire game. but it was dropped on Monday at like midnight. And they gave them that story free. But yeah, that like there's nothing to it. There's no like Nintendo magic. There's not like you could change the outfits that your character wears, but yeah.
Alright.
Yeah.
I am down to try the jump rope challenge.
I mean, I feel like it should have been an actual jump rope challenge. Where like if you could have it where it's like you had competing challenges with your friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would have been much better.
Yes. Yeah, but
anything else from Nintendo this week?
Anything else from Nintendo? I don't think there's anything else from Nintendo, but I mean we do have the other thing to talk about. Jeff went to get a beer. I don't even know if he's a fan, but Cyberpunk got delayed again for an additional 2 months now. So it's now out in November.
Yes, November 19th.
Yes. So.
Yeah. All right. That is that hint of a date for one of the consoles?
Who knows? Well, I would imagine, if anything, it would be Microsoft because they're really, it's like they have to the ass. Xbox One special edition being released in the country is this Cyberpunk one. So they're really putting their chips down with that one.
I mean, the night, that's a weird day. It's a Thursday. Huh.
Huh. Maybe that's, huh. Let me see. I didn't even look at that.
I thought the date was, maybe the date's wrong. Maybe I got the date wrong. But,
no, it's November 19th.
So that's a Thursday. That's.
Yeah, that is a Thursday. That is
really weird.
Let's see what Oh, okay. I guess that was what they're going for, because October 17th was the Thursday. I mean, September 17th was the Thursday as well. So.
Okay. So they just moved it to.
Yeah. They just moved it 2 months back.
One side. Got it. All right. Well, I don't know. I'll play that game, but I'm not like depressed.
Oh, Cyberpunk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. I stepped away for a second. Yeah. No surprise if people like freaked out.
Yeah. They didn't. Some people did not take it very well.
I mean, even if I was super looking forward to it, I'd hope I take it a little better than some of the stuff I saw. But, yeah, I'm like you, Chris. I'm like, I was going to play it, but I'm not like, you know, it's not even a sure thing that I like it. So why am I, I'm not going to like freak out about it.
Yeah. I mean, I've liked, CD Projekt Red's games in the past.
Yeah, but
like, I don't know. This is a first person game.
Completely new thing, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, it looks cool.
Yeah.
But I'm not upset about it being delayed 2 months. Like,
I mean, especially at this point, it's, and not even that we have an abundance of stuff to face, just like, yeah, at this point, I don't expect anything to go my way to be funny, so.
Right.
I mean, what hasn't been delayed this month? We have Tenet got pushed back, Wonder Woman's now October, I think. Yeah. Yeah, I guess the other not huge news, but Fortnite started a new season, and I don't know what it's called. The only reason I care about it is one of the centerpieces of this one is you can get Aquaman. So
I did catch that. Yeah,
that's kind of nifty. And I guess the Super Mario Lego sets are now up for pre-order.
Oh, the Lego sets.
Yeah.
Neat.
Are you guys getting it?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Dorks.
Yeah. Chris. When I'm sitting around and I have nothing else to do, I'll be like, what are this dumb thing? That's something that's bad about being home all the time, is that sometimes you're just like, I don't have anything to do, so now I'm just online shopping.
I bought a bunch of shirts recently that way.
I got Ring Fit Adventure.
I'm not spending my money anywhere, so might as well buy a shirt.
What were you saying, Earl?
No, I said I got Ring Fit Adventure, but I've not paid it because I think I mentioned this in passing. I don't know if I mentioned it on the show last week. I took a staycation and I rented a hotel room in the city. York City, in Manhattan, sorry. I say the city, and I always forget that. Technically, yes, I live in Brooklyn. So then whenever we refer to the city, we mean Manhattan. And I rented a room there just to kind of work in a different location, get new food, drink different stuff. And so like, everything that I ordered in the last week came when I was gone. So Ring Fit Adventure, my new Xbox controller, and some other stuff came. So I'm like, oh. So I've not actually had a chance because I was playing catch up at work and I've just been too hot and bothered to do it. But I do want to check out Ring Fit Adventure and hopefully I'm back with that next week.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what you have to say about it. And if it's actually a decent workout.
Oh, okay. So I got my new Xbox controller, like I mentioned, and it's really nice. I mean, it's just a normal Xbox controller, but it's the, which one is this? The Recon Tech? So it has like this pretty like nice rubber grip
on the back.
Yes.
Like underneath. Yeah. My Gears 5 controller has that. It's really nice.
Yeah, it feels really. So I'm excited. I'm excited for that.
I am excited that those controllers move forward.
Yes.
It's like we'll be able to use those on the new system. Like, you know, we're going to get the new controller as well, but.
It's always nice to be, I mean, it's not something you think about, but like I was super excited, and I know people were, don't know why they actually bought the system when the Wii U used the Wii controller, because it's like you invest hundreds of dollars into controllers, and it's the one thing you never think of bringing forward with you.
Yeah. And, like, you know, I don't need a lot of controllers, but it's nice to have, like, extra ones when people come over and
Probably, yeah.
Like
yeah.
when you move forward, it's like, well, if I, you know, I have three friends come over, I'm gonna need three other controllers. Like, that's another $180. So that, it's going to be cool that, you know, I'll just be able to sync these up with whatever the new system is.
Oh, yes. And the other thing that I got, and I mentioned this, I think, in passing in the chat. Well, not got, but I did order Maneater. So hopefully that's here for next week as well, because I'm really curious about that. And it hit my price. Like I said, it was about $25 on Amazon, which is where I would be more comfortable buying it. And it's just in time for when Sharks Bury Rue to Sea, which is 4th of July weekend, yep. As everybody knows. So
that is a... I hope you enjoy it. I really liked it. I think it'll be a good 4th of July game. I just wish that they would update, maybe provide some more challenges or something in the game, because I completed everything in it. let's see. So, Earl, you've been away.
What?
Have you played anything?
Yes, I think I mentioned this last week. I've mentioned the overall premise that I've been addicted to Diablo-esque games this quarantine, which has included Diablo, Minecraft Dungeons, and Path of Exile. And I think I mentioned that I had just bought Torchlight 2 for the Switch. So that is my new thing, is I'm playing Torchlight 2. And it's really fun. I really enjoy... It's a nice middle ground between Diablo systems and Path of Exile. So there's a bit more control over like what your character actually unlocks and what your character can do. But it's not overwhelming. The one downside, the really, 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 really massive downside to me, and something I think is really dumb, is you can only respect the last 3 points that you invest in a character. So... Like with the other ones, you can kind of like, okay, this isn't working out. You can kind of go back and backtrack it a bit. This one, I kind of like stop leveling up my character, and then I'm like, I'm going to go online and figure out what I actually want to do. Because I don't, like, for instance, I want to, like, you know, if you get points, you want to put it into abilities you don't have yet. So I put it in one into a shield bash, and I realized, oh, I don't have a shield equipped. I'm like, okay, I'll equip a shield. But if I equip a shield, it then means I can no longer have a two-handed weapon. And my default, the first attack I got and the attacks that I enjoyed using were two-handed attacks. So I'm like, one of those has to go. I can't do both skill trees. It was early enough in the game that I could respec, but I'm like, that's something that I wish you didn't have to think about at the start of the game.
Okay.
And like I mentioned before, one of the reasons I prefer this over the other ones is actually I like the art style. Diablo is very dark, and I mean it's supposed to be you're dealing with devils.
Yeah,
there are brighter environments, but the characters are still kind of they're very macabre, where this one's a lot more colorful. It has a cel-shaded style. I have the different pets you can get. Like you can have pets in Diablo, but still you have a handful. This one you get actual pets, so you can have an owl, you can have an eagle, you can have a jack, you can have a panther. You can have a house cat. You can have a dog. You can have a kind of a pouchy. You can have a head crab. There's a variety of different pets you can have, and then you can customize them. And then, like, the pets themselves also have, like, a little RPG system to them. You can give them special abilities, give them spells. You can give them stat boosts. You can transform them into different animals when you catch a fish. So it's really nice that there's a lot of these systems working together. That's not overly complicated, but it does add to the, like, getting a wrap around your character. Especially being that, you know, at the core game, you only have four characters, but, you know, each one can kind of specialize in something slightly different.
Yep. That sounds, I haven't played a lot of that one yet, but that sounds like way more colorful and fun and uplifting than Diablo is. Diablo gets a little dark in its humor and art style at points, so... anything else?
I mean, more Xenoblade, more Animal Crossing. Nothing new.
Jeff, what have you been up to?
Yeah, mostly not much. Mostly just Clubhouse games and
who knows?
Who knows?
I heard the little stink. Sorry.
All right.
They didn't lose anything, though.
Mostly clubhouse games.
And... Oh, we joined. Tony joined. That's what the little dink was.
Is there Tony here?
I am here.
Hello. Is there trouble in paradise?
No.
Tony's told to sleep on the couch. He's like, I might as well come talk video game.
So Jeff, you've been playing clubhouse games?
Mostly, yeah. I'm trying to think. I'm playing something else too. Oh, Tales of Vesperia.
Yeah.
Can I be honest about that game?
Sure.
I mean, you can lie.
If you're going to say bad things about it, then no, you can't.
I think it's boring, dude. Like, it really is. Like, it's just... Every time I, like, think I should go play that because I bought it, I don't want to. When I start playing it, I kind of am, like, having the most mild amount of fun possible. But it's, like, so much fucking talking that I don't care about. Like, so many cutscenes every 2 seconds.
It's a classic style JRPG is what I'm hearing here.
Yeah.
The thing about games like that, like you need to like, and I often can't do this with JRPGs, is break through the barrier of getting out of like the initial storytelling / tutorial phase, which always seems to last like 5 or 6 hours in those games.
I'm 6 hours in.
Yeah, and then the world starts to open up, and you can go where you want to go. And like the game does tell an interesting story, but it gets to a point where it stops like bludgeoning you over the head with it every 5 seconds.
I couldn't really even tell you what the story is, and it's just like
you don't tend to like follow.
It depends, like story
heavy games like that. I feel like they're not your jam. Yeah,
well, like sometimes, like. Sometimes it works. Like sometimes I do get drawn into it, like Fallout New Vegas or fucking what was that one last year? The Outer, whatever the fuck, Outer Worlds.
Outer Worlds. Yep.
Yeah, like you know, like it's so good. Like the writing's so good that I'm like, oh okay, like this is interesting. Like this is not to me. This is like watching a bad fucking kids cartoon or something, and it's like. But it's like fucking 1,000 hours long.
Well, the other thing is those two games you just mentioned, like you have an effect on the storyline, like your decisions and your actions.
Yeah, oh, for sure. That yeah,
you kind of just along for the ride.
In general, yeah, classic JRPGs are you're basically playing an anime.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's just not like that. Like that type of story to me is just good lord. and like. The other thing is, like, the combat's okay, I guess, but I played way more interesting combat systems than other RPGs. But, like, the other thing that bothers me is that, like, you barely get, you don't get enough loot. You have no control over, like, when you, like, level up, it's just, like, your stats go up, and that's it. Yep. Like, you are not, like, so it's just, like, little things like that. Like, I really started thinking about it before we're going to record it because I'm like, what do I want to say about it? And then I'm like, I don't think I really like it. Like, as I've been playing it, I'm like, yeah, it's fine, whatever. But I'm like, I don't think I actually like it, which sucks.
Yeah. Everything you described is like very classic JRPG stuff. Like, they're not loot heavy. Like, you get gold or whatever the currency is in the game. And like, that's how you like upgrade your equipment and stuff because you go to the towns and buy weapons and stats are almost always like you go up a level, you gain experience, but you're not picking.
Yeah. It's just distributed
anything. Yeah. It's just like, all right, you gained a level. Here's what it is. So it does not sound like it's for you.
It's not like, it's not bad. Like, I don't think it's a bad game. Like, I don't probably still keep playing it. I don't know. We'll see. I think as soon as the first game comes along that like interests me in the slightest, it's getting fucking shelved.
Ghost of Tsushima, come on. Where is it?
I'm getting that SpongeBob game next week.
Oh, God. You're going to switch out Tales of Vesperia for a SpongeBob?
It looks fun. Like, I guess it's like it's a game that people liked like back in the day, which is funny because like, I never played that game and I've never watched a single episode of SpongeBob. But the game looked fun to me, so I don't know.
Hey, whatever. So that's pretty much it. What you've been playing?
Yeah, and you know, in Clubhouse games, I do want to reiterate, like I like almost forgot to say it last week, that like certain games are two players for reasons that I can't comprehend, like why bowling would be two players, but it's just the fact of that game. But I've been playing a lot of Clubhouse games, so there's that.
Nice.
I feel like I've maybe have gotten my money's worth out of it.
I mean, it sounded last week like you may have gotten your money's worth out of it. So if you're still playing it, like,
yeah, I've been playing a bunch, like, I'll play the computer a bunch, and you know, try out new games, stuff I don't know, and then also, yeah, I've been playing a bunch of like, basically backgammon online. It's like all like backgammon, and then like here and there, I'll play a game of chess.
Nice, Tony. What have you been playing now that you've joined us?
Well, I've been playing two things. You could probably guess what they both are.
Well, we know one's Apex.
Apex. Been playing a lot of Apex. We've been playing ranked now. So,
ooh, fancy.
Yeah, I've been playing against people who are good.
And still winning occasionally. So.
Still winning. No, we won. I won, what, 3 matches since our last podcast?
Nice.
So, yeah, no. Doing well there. Ranked up to silver. Now it's, you have to like, so in ranked, you have to, every match you earn points depending on how well you do. When you get to silver, you have to pay points to buy in. So you can actually lose ranked. You can go backwards.
I mean, that makes sense. Like,
yeah. So I have never gotten into any like ranked mode in any game. Like I don't normally get this hardcore into multiplayer games, but this time I'm there, so this is my first experience with ranked play. I feel like I actually play better in ranked. It's odd. Like, normally when Walt and I play, we play in duos, because when you end up with a third person there, normally that person is an idiot.
Yes.
But when you play ranked, the third person seems to be way more competent. It's somebody who's actually trying to be good, especially as you start to like rank up and play against better opponents. The quality of the guys you get stuck with is also higher.
That makes sense. Like, yeah. if you have to spend, you know, your prestige or rank or whatever to play a match in
right.
silver bracket, you know, they're not going to want to. They're going to want to do their best so that they can continue to rank up.
Yeah, the other thing I see happening now, this never happened before, when the match ends, the players I play with will invite me to play with them now. That never happens in unranked play. They're like, whatever. Now it's like, okay, that person was halfway decent. Please be on my squad for next time.
That happens randomly to me, and it's always like, I did nothing this match. Like, why are you inviting me?
I had one where we ended up winning the match. I only got one kill, and it was the last kill. And my teammates killed like 5 people and 6 people apiece. And I was like, oh, I was fine. I was along for the. I spent a lot of the time. Like, it wasn't that I was playing badly. It was just like the two guys were so far out in front of me. Everyone was dead by the time I got there every time. And like,
It happens.
And I'm like, but at that point it was like 1:30 in the morning. I'm like, I'm not playing anymore. I gotta stop. So that's fun. I do enjoy playing ranked in Apex. It's improved the experience for me. They've been emphasizing the older map a lot in this season.
Okay.
And for some reason it seems a lot more palatable in ranked. I am not sure why. The map feels like it sucks in unranked play, and when you play ranked, it all feels better. I guess when you're playing with people who know where to go and what to do, it's just better.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I still prefer the new map. Give me my world's edge.
Did they announce a new map at all today? We didn't talk much about Apex earlier.
I was unsure. It sounds like they announced a new event. But yes. I wasn't really clear on what those details were yet, or when the event was.
The event starts next Tuesday, I think the 23rd or 24th. But the other, I don't know if it's another mode, but they're bringing back something where it sounds like it's OE shotguns and snipers.
It looked like shotguns and snipers, and then the only way you could get a kill was by doing that fancy thing where execution. You execute people, which never actually never seems to happen when you're playing for real, because you know it's much easier to put a bullet.
Right. Like who wants to take time to like I'm gonna run up and do this? Like it's a cool looking animation, but
yeah,
like it probably puts you at risk of getting.
It does. The only time I'll do it is when I'm absolutely certain that this is the last person in the squad, and there's no other team that's anywhere close. And I mean, how often can you be that certain?
Right.
So, for instance, I play with Wraith most of the time, and I have one execution in like 200 matches with her. So.
Yeah. Well, good luck in shoddy snipers and executions.
Right. Although I will say the shotgun is my weapon of choice, so maybe that'll be good for me. I don't know.
I'll be able to. I'll play with you when it comes out on Switch. I'll play on the Switch and you guys can.
That seems a little weird. Get your Xbox out. Play on Xbox.
Yeah, I mean, it is still installed, but.
See? You can play with us at any time.
I could.
Join us in ranked.
Or you could join us in Fortnite.
Ugh, no.
I hear there's a giant wave.
Apex is better than Fortnite. Play Apex.
Does Apex have Aquaman? I don't think so.
It's a fair question.
Really sure why that's important.
Can I run around with a lightsaber?
No.
I can in Fortnite, though. In fact, I have a Millennium Falcon as my umbrella when I jump out of the bus.
Great.
Give me some ridiculous options for customization in Apex like that. Instead of just colored skins. What else you playing?
The other game I've been playing a lot of is Total War Warhammer 2. Unsurprisingly, that game is still awesome. I keep throwing myself into it. A lot of it is my kids get really excited by watching me play, because it's like all these giant monsters fighting each other, which is really cool for them. I'm finally getting my money's worth out of the Tomb Kings expansion I bought a couple of years ago. Okay. So they're basically like undead Egyptians. So like their armies are like sphinxes and you know, Egyptian type characters, like giants with dog heads and that kind of thing. It's a lot of fun. One of my favorite units, the Tomb Scorpion, which is just a giant scorpion that can, like, you know, go under the sand and like jump out at things.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, and it's an odd faction in terms of gameplay. So most of the time when you're playing these games, you'll spend a lot of time working on your economy to make sure you have enough money to buy units. All of the Tomb King's units are free. So if you build a building, it'll earn you the right to say, build 4 Tomb Guard units. So you'll build your 4 Tomb Guard units, and then you have to fill out with weaker units. So you build buildings to get units to unlock, but they're all free. You don't have to pay any upkeep. I guess dead people don't eat or anything like that, so you don't have to worry about that. It's an odd faction to play, because you're normally so used to like working on your economy, and with the Tomb Kings, their economy doesn't matter at all.
Because they're all dead.
They're all dead. So, you know, dead people don't need to sleep or eat or, you know, I don't know, buy things at the market. None of that stuff matters. And then they're extremely limited, though, in the number of armies they can build. Because obviously, if they could build as many armies as the other factions, it would be utterly unfair. They would just keep, you know, throwing new armies out there.
Right.
You actually have to research a technology to build a new army. And those technologies take, like, 25 turns, as opposed to the normal technologies, which take, like, 3 or 4 turns.
I mean, that's a balancing
issue. Yeah, yeah. So there's kind of some stuff to deal with there, but it's fun to play as them. They have a lot of interesting units, and it's a different type of campaign. They have these things called the Books of Nagash, So they hunt down armies or territories to conquer, and when you take them, you get this Book of Nagash, which gives you a bunch of special abilities. So it's kind of like their campaign is structured around finding these books. And when they find them all, they win. So, Tomb Kings are fun. Total War Warhammer 2, still pretty awesome.
Sounds like a good time. Sounds like Jeff should play that one.
Jeff should totally play that one.
I feel like I've been like vicariously playing it for like 10 years.
It's been like 4 years, but sure, you have been.
It's like 2020. It just feels forever.
Yeah, this year, Jesus. We're only in June.
Yeah, we're not even halfway through, as Jeff pointed out, so...
I've been playing some stuff. Far Cry 4. That's a game.
Tony liked it, I thought.
That's the Tibet one. Like the one
it is. It's like the setting is awesome. It's a beautiful looking game. It's like the environment is great looking. I like the premise of the story that like you've returned to your mother's ancestral home to scatter her ashes, and your uncle is a fucking crazy ass warlord that has kind of taken over the country. And so you're kind of fighting against him to free them, but I don't know, like I'm playing it and like it's very similar to 3. The gunplay I didn't feel was great in any of the Far Cries. It's fine, but it's not like amazing. It's not Call of Duty or, you know, Halo type gunplay. It's serviceable at best. And like the missions are just like super repetitive. It's an Ubisoft open world game, and I remember when I played it originally, it was like I thought it was fine. Like, yeah, this is fun. It feels like more Far Cry, but it's fun. There's elephants, so that's cool.
You can ride the elephants.
Yeah, you ride the elephant, and like they pick up the enemies and toss them, and it's that is really cool. But then there's like just there's so many missions that are exactly out of Far Cry 3, like. Go burn down a drug field. There's literally a burn down a drug field mission in Far Cry 4, except this time you don't get high. But then there's another mission where you do get high, and you're seeing things because you took down a drug factory. So it's like, oh, so we split the cool mission from Far Cry 3 into two missions that are less good. And I don't know, the towers, I'm still finding the towers fun. Like they're fun to climb up and stop the radios, but everything else is like super repetitive, and they're going to announce Far Cry 6, aren't they?
Probably.
It's coming. I didn't like 4 when it came out. And like, to me, that was like the end of this. Like, I didn't get any better. Like, I bought Primal. I played through Primal, didn't like it. I bought 5. I played a little bit of it, fell off of it.
And, it all feels the same.
Yeah, it's very... It's
the same game over and over again.
Like, it to me, that series, like, peaked with 3, and, like, 3 was a really cool game, but yeah, it's just, like, they haven't done anything good with it since. Except for Blood Dragon, which was fucking amazing.
It's like, but that was like just
there's no topping
wacky,
that.
Right. It was just like so wacky, so over the top. Like it took the, you know, the fun parts of Far Cry 3, which are the like the bases, right? The bases that you take down and the towers, and like gave you that. And then
with an awesome makeover.
Yeah. And it's short. Like, that game is not super long. Like, Far Cry 4 is, it's not a short game.
I've actually thought about playing Blood Dragon again. I, like, always forget.
Yeah, I think that's, like, what, a 5-6 hour game top?
It's definitely like, shorter, and it's just, it was amazing. Like, I don't know. I just love that whole aesthetic. Like, it's still cool to me.
So, don't know. I was like, oh, I should clear out some of these games that I bought and never played. And then now I'm like looking at it. I'm like, I have every fucking Far Cry. Like,
I don't do it.
I mean, I'm going to get through 4, but I'm certainly not jumping like right into Primal because
I don't think I can
do that again. What else? Playing Forza Horizon 4. We talked a little bit last week. I said 3 is the best of that series and probably the best racing game this gen. I still think that's true. 4 is really good. It's just it suffers from here's more. Like the map is just loaded with shit to do and winning doesn't matter. Like the difference between like coming in like 5th and 1st is negligible in experience and credits. So it's just like you're just literally just going to stuff, doing it to mark it off a list. Now it helps that like just playing that game is pure fun in itself. Yeah. Like the exploration is fun, finding the cars that the barn finds and the billboards and like that's all fun. But the progression point just isn't quite as good. I do have the 2 expansions, one which turns everything into Lego. So that seems like it could be cool. So we'll see how that goes, but it's just not quite as good as 3. Which is a shame because it's still a good game. It's just you want things to improve and maybe it peaked at 3. And the last game I'll talk about is, I don't know if I had talked about this previously on the show, is this little game. I'm playing it on PC Game Pass, but it's also on Xbox Game Pass. It's called Lonely Mountains Downhill.
Is that the bicycle game?
Yes.
Oh, how is that? Because I know it's on Switch. I've been fascinated by it. I didn't know it was on Game Pass.
I love it. It's just super chill like that. So you start at the top of a mountain and you ride down the mountain. And as you do that, like, so you start out, there's one mountain to go down. There's one trail. And when you finish that one, it then gives you some challenges to do. And as you complete that, you can unlock another trail on that mountain, or eventually you unlock more mountains. There's 4 total, 16 different 16 different trails that also have a night mode, which makes it super challenging because riding down a mountain with just like a little flashlight on your bike is not super safe. And I've just been sitting here like a turn. The soundtrack's not great. So I've turned down the game noise, up the sound effects a little bit, and then just like play Spotify and like chill out driving down the mountain with these like goofy looking little guys. And their crashes are great. Like when they hit the rocks, they like ragdoll off the mountain down hundreds of feet. And then when they hit something, they explode into like pixelated, like little voxel blood shoots out everywhere. So it's a good time. It is free on Game Pass. You said it's on Switch, Earl?
Yeah, if it's the one I'm thinking of, it's just like some dude biking down a thing. Yep. And part of the appeal is just trying to find the best shortcut to get down there without killing yourself.
Yep.
Yeah. It seemed quaint.
Yeah, it's like super simple. There's like 6 different bikes, which all have different attributes. Like some go faster, some are stronger on jumps, some are better at off-road. They have bigger tires. And the challenges are sometimes like, hey, get down the mountain without hitting anything, or get down the mountain with, you know, 10 or less crashes. And if you do that, you unlock like a t-shirt or bike spray or maybe a bike part so you can get a new bike, or you unlock like a new trail or something. So the challenges are fun. At first I was like, oh, I'm just going to play through it and get through the, you know, the 16 different trails. And now it's like, I'm trying to hit all the time marks to unlock all the challenges. Like this is fun. It's just super chill, super like simplistic and relaxing. There's not much going on with it, so it's a fun time. That's it. I think. Is there any more press conferences next week?
I don't think there's any major ones, but there are events next week. As we've learned, they can randomly drop anything at any time. but yes, I think there. I don't think the next major one, I believe, is the Microsoft press conference, which is set for July 7th, I believe.
Oh, that's soon. That's the first party showcase.
Yeah.
I was expecting later in July. All right. Do they?
Oh, and we're supposed to see, I believe, gameplay footage of the Avengers game next week.
Ooh.
I don't know if that's exciting or not, but
it better be considering how something else was just delayed. So, you know.
It was scared of the Avengers. Cyberpunk was terrified of the Avengers. The Avengers was good. They assembled. They were taking it out. No.
They had that really tone deaf advertisement. Yes, and this is much further down the road, and this isn't necessarily whatever. But Warner Brothers did announce that they're doing the DC fandom in August, which is a 24-hour stream covering all things DC. So it will be comics, it will be video games, it will be movies, it will be shows. And, I mean, word is that's when we will eventually see what Rocksteady and WB Montreal have been working on for the past 16 years.
The Montreal game was supposedly that Court of Owls game.
Yes. And then I think the Rocksteady one that people seem to is a Suicide Squad game.
Okay.
That's the rumor.
Is there going to be an Ubisoft show?
I don't think so. Which I'm surprised by.
That's a shame.
Quote unquote shame.
I don't know. I always enjoyed their dumb press conference. They were always terrible. Like, there was that one where they had laser tag up on stage. But they're like goofy and fun. They have a good sense of humor about themselves. Of course, as we just discussed, all of their games are basically the same, but except Assassin's Creed, they've done a good job with that.
Oh, before we go, I just wanted to, you know, wish a happy anniversary. This week was the 10-year anniversary of the Konami press conference. I don't have to tell you what Konami press conference. I think if you hear Konami press conference, you know exactly which one it's referring to. Yeah. Which is still by far one of my favorite E3 press conferences of all time. Because that was the ultimate batshit insane press conference.
Yeah. Konami. I miss them too. I miss them releasing games. What were you gonna say, Jeff?
They gave you your Contra and Castlevania collections.
Yeah, can we get another one of them? Can we get a Castlevania Collection 2?
Yes.
They could do like 3 or 4 of them.
Give me the GBAs.
Yep. And then there are the 3D games, there's the N64 games, there's the PS2 games.
Right. You know,
they could even throw the 360 and PS3 games in there. Come on, do it, Konami. Do it. Sure. I guess one other. When we already talked news, but one thing that we kind of missed is that PAX East and PAX Australia were canceled.
Shocked.
In their place is going to be PAX Online.
Yeah.
Virtual PAX. Yay.
I did not read much on it other than it's 9 days long.
Okay, so I'm curious what a virtual PAX is, as somebody who's attended PAX, and somebody who personally enjoys going to panels.
Yeah.
PAX is not heavy on panels. It is more, because, I mean, the whole point of PAX is it's an interactive game experience. Yes. And I guess there's going to be, like, a way where everybody's, like, releasing their demos for you to play at home. I don't know if prolonging it for having 9 days of talks is really what you do for PAX. If this was GDC, sure, I'm all for that. But PAX, it's like, especially since a lot of the times the energy comes from everybody being in the same room.
Yep. Like, that's what's fun about, like, you know, going to the, you know, the Giant Bomb one or the IGN panel is like everyone is in the room there and it's fun and it's exciting. Or, you know, get a big reveal from like Bungie. They did a Halo thing there a few years ago. That was a ton of fun. I guess that was more than a few years ago because they haven't been in charge of Halo for a while. But yeah, I don't know. I'm down for, you know, having some virtual sessions or whatever. Be interested to see how they handle this.
I get that. I'm down with it. I'm a huge fan of panels. I'm here for the talks, but yeah. PAX isn't necessarily known for like its incisive talks. It's where you kind of go to meet personalities or have a high podcast, and that doesn't necessarily, I mean, like, if I wanted to listen to people podcast, I would just listen to people podcast. The whole point is to see them in person, sure, and have the energy of the room.
So I'm hoping they have some good panels. When we were in PAX East, you know, in the before times.
Right before the before times.
Right before the world ended in 2020. I don't know, my wife and I went to a couple interesting panels. Like they had some education panels, like that dealt with games. Some accessibility panels. There was even one that discussed like religion in The Legend of Zelda, like the different religious iconography, and how Zelda pulls from multiple different religions for its iconography, and there's some cool stuff that they could do. So,
yeah. I mean, I guess we shall see. I'm intrigued. I'm curious to see what they pull together. I mean, I think one of the things that has been missing here is that we've had all these events, but it's been a lot of like, here's some video game. So if they have actual behind the scenes talk, if they have people come together, but you always need the right personality for that. And you're always going to miss the energy of a room, because it's the difference between a TED talk and a press conference. It's like, you know, that is one of the reasons people prefer press conferences. You get that energy in the room, and you could fake it. Rustin does, but that's weird.
And are these going to be, I guess we'll find out more as it gets closer, but are they going to be live? Like, are these panels, like, are we going to be able to interact with them and ask questions? Because that's one of the things that, like, also makes panels at PAX interesting is that, you know, you have an opportunity to ask the people that are up there questions.
On the bright side, none of that awkward, like, you can only ask one question and make it quick, and people are like, oh, I just want to say I love you so much, and I'm just happy to be here. And I have two questions for you. The first is, can you sign my book?
Yeah.
Or can I take a picture with you? Yeah, none of that nonsense.
Yeah, that, yes. Man, like, we are here at, can you ask, like, a real question, please? Can I take a picture with you? Yeah, after the panel. All right, well, we'll be back next week. Tony will have more Apex.
Yeah, I will.
And Warhammer. Sure. Jeff will have more backgammon.
I'll have SpongeBob for you. My first ever SpongeBob impressions.
SpongeBob. Earl will have a...
Man-Eater and Ring Fit Adventure.
Oh, Ring Fit, right. Yes, you will have Ring Fit. Did mention that. And I might have The Last of Us Part 2.
Oh, yes, that is up in half an hour.
Yeah. Amazon has deemed me not worthy enough to get it tomorrow, so...
So I'll he'd be worthy of him
sometime next week.
Well, fingers crossed. This is why you should go digital.
Well, I mean, yes, but...
He wants to sell this shit when he's done with it.
That's pretty much it. Like, I most likely will not play The Last of Us Part 2 ever again.
Oh, no.
I didn't play The Last of Us Part 1 more than once.
I started to. It's a good game. Like, it is a good game. It's just, I don't know. It's not, a lot of reviews say it's not super fun, in my opinion.
It's not. Like, it is, like, that first game is a bleak.
Yeah, there's bleak that, too. Like, it's.
It's not necessarily fun. I personally have some issues with, you know, Naughty Dog's. How they handle their gameplay. But it's that game's fine. I did not hate it.
How many dogs are you willing to kill?
How many dogs am I willing to kill?
Yes.
As many as they make them.
How many is it going to make me kill? Because I generally try not to kill dogs unless they are trying to kill me. I've heard some things about that game, and I am not sure how I'm going to react to it. So maybe we'll have a talk about that as well. Anything else going on this week for us?
Not that I know of.
All right. Then we'll be back next week. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.